As I mentioned last week on the Feast of Christ the King, we begin a new liturgical year today on the first Sunday of Advent. And I have for you, as I've done last year, I believe the last 2 years, liturgical calendars so that you can follow the church year, which of course is sanctified as we go through the calendar in the year, by holy days and days of obligation, saints' days, and other and various and sundry things. I've always found the calendar be a helpful, the physical calendar, to be a help in terms of focusing on our spiritual life as we go forward. When we go through our regular days, our secular life, we tend to go this way sometimes, and our spiritual life tends to go that way sometimes. Well, the calendar takes care of that. The calendar sanctifies time so that we know every day, every minute of every day, is holy and belongs to God. And hopefully, in so doing, we can dedicate and consecrate ourselves more efficiently and more seriously to the spiritual life that we're called to. So those are in the back when you head out today. Advent is a time of preparation. It is a time to prepare, not as perhaps you're thinking, like Christmas and shopping and Christmas trees. That is a part of it, but it is a time of preparation spiritually on two fronts. Firstly, we prepare to celebrate again the Nativity and the Incarnation of our Lord on Christmas Day, and yet in a larger sense, we're also preparing to, at some point, as the gospel tells us, that is unexpected, we are preparing also to meet the Lord yet again. For he has promised that he will come again in power and great glory. The question is, when will that time be? And the larger question is, will you be ready? Will you be prepared? Now, on the secular front, I'm prepared. We put up our Christmas tree yesterday. It is the first time in my adult life that I ever put the Christmas tree up right after Thanksgiving. I'm one of those traditionalists that believes you should wait until the very end. And why is that? Because Advent is Advent and Christmas is Christmas. And one leads to the other. But we bought this new fancy-dancy artificial thing that kind of looks like a big antenna, to tell you the truth. But I put about 3 million lights on it, so that kind of fixed it. So we're ready in that sense. We've been, you know, Amazon's been rolling up every day with, you know how that goes. I feel like every day is Christmas when Amazon rolls up. But in terms of being prepared spiritually, that's something we need to be perhaps a little more aware of. So this morning, we hear in Matthew's gospel, so we're now in Matthew. We did Luke in year C, we do Matthew in year A, and we do Mark in year B. We hear what's known as the synoptic apocalypse. The synoptic apocalypse is found in all of the synoptic gospels, and there are three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The synoptic apocalypse varies a little bit from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's a little shorter in Mark. Luke adds a few more things. Matthew pretty much sticks to the script. But in it, we hear our Lord talking about the fact that he is going to depart, and the final consummation of the world and of history will take place. And he puts it in very real terms. There'll be two in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. There'll be two grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know the hour that your Lord is coming. Now, the communities of the early church took to heart and took to very seriousness the fact that the Lord was imminently coming. They thought it was going to happen in their lifetime. And we hear time and time and time again in the epistles of St. Paul how he is exhorting them not to be lazy, not to just sit around and wait for that great and terrible whatever day to come, because you're not quite sure, A, when it's going to happen, and you need to be ready when it does. So he goes on and on and on about that. And I think the same probably could be applied to each of us today. But perhaps maybe we're not just waiting, we're simply not prepared. We're simply not prepared for that day to come. And maybe you don't get up in the morning and go, am I prepared today for the Lord to come? But maybe you should. Maybe we all should. Because, again, we don't know when that day will come. So we need to be prepared. So how do we get prepared in Advent for that? Well, I'd like to suggest three very simple things that we can all do. Firstly, since this is such a crazy busy time, you know, you're running here and there, you're doing this and that and thus and such, find a little time for quiet. Find a little time for being in the presence of the Lord. It doesn't have to be, you know, 2 hours of meditation. It doesn't have to be any big hoopla thing. Find 5 or 10 minutes to be still and be in the presence of Almighty God. Let all that busyness in your life and that busyness that goes through your head, you know, just let it go. It'll be there when you're done. It'll come back. It's not going away. It's all there. Let it go for a time. Things, you know, the material world, it'll be there. All those things to buy and things to do and places to be and all those things, they'll be there. But in the meanwhile, you have that opportunity to be in the presence of God and to be still in your heart and allow that stillness and that quiet to be a part of your being, a part of your being, so that God can enter in to those places where perhaps we push him out with that noise and with that busyness. The second thing, very simple. Many people don't take the bulletin home after church or whatever. But in the bulletin, you have the collect of the day, which is a beautiful collect about casting off the darkness and entering into the light. You have the three lessons. You could read, mark, learn, inwardly digest during the week. You don't have to go find the Bible and look up a passage or look up a chapter to read. It's right in front of you. The lessons that you heard in church on Sunday, you can carry home and read with you again and allow them to seep into those places where you need to have that nourishment, where you have that presence of Almighty God, where you're in that place. So we're in quiet, we're in solitude, we're offering God's word back into our hearts and minds. And then, after you do that, with whatever words come or whatever words enter your heart and mind, offer them up to God. You don't have to be reading prayers out of the prayer book. You can simply reflect on what you've had in that moment of silence or in that piece of scripture that you've read and offer it up to Almighty God. Have that conversation. It does not have to be an involved, you know, serious sort of thing. Can be very, very simple. You know, Lord God, hear my prayer. Lord God, be present to me in this moment. Lord God, I give you thanks for the word that I've shared. I give you thanks for the quiet that I've entered into with you. Very simple prayers. And those things done repetitively over and over and over again begin to mold and change the soul and your very being. Very simple things, entering into silence, reading scripture, and then offering up in prayer your heart to Almighty God. Is that going to get you prepared for eternity? I don't know, maybe. Maybe closer than you were, because what does St. Paul say in Romans this morning? You know, salvation is closer than when we first believed. Salvation is closer than when we believed. And when we move closer to the Lord, he embraces us and embraces that which we offer unto him. So that when he comes, not if, it's not an if question, it's when he comes with power and great glory, we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing. Rejoice to behold the appearing and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.